Once again, good morning. Let us continue our studies in Isaiah chapter 9. And again, we want to look at this promise that God has made of the coming Messiah. As it says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born." This is the promise that God gave to his people. "Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This morning I want to look at this title that our Lord says, the Messiah shall be called the Mighty God. We've looked at some of these other names. And Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll take a look at the Everlasting Father. But for this morning, I want to concentrate on these three words, the Mighty God. First, we see the word, the. Now, this could also be pronounced the, as in the one and only Mighty God. It does not say a Mighty God, as in one among many, but it says the Mighty God. This is very important because there is only one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, yes, and all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily, Christ Jesus the Lord. The Lord Jesus has always been the Lord from the beginning of creation and before, till now, and forever. He is the creator of all things. He just had not been made flesh until a little over 2,000 years ago. God humbled himself and became a man, a servant. And this is the very God that is spoken of here. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Notice that it says unto. It's pointing us to a particular word, the word us. It's not the word all. That means unto a particular people, God has given a son. Unto a particular people, a child shall be born, and that one shall be called the Almighty God, Lord of all. We can confirm this claim with the New Testament scripture, and allow me to quote some for you. In Matthew 1:23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Let's use another one. John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." Philippians 2:6, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." John 14:9, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 5:23, "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." And then in 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." These and many more declare the Son of God to be God in human form. The only way to disclaim this is to ignore Scripture or to change its meaning. This child who is promised to usward, this son of who is given to usward, is to be called the Mighty God. That's what that scripture tells us. Along with those other names, he is to be called the Mighty God. This brings us to our second word, and that is the word mighty. Once again, I'd like to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. The God of Scripture is no wimpy God of man's imagination, made to be like man, weak and unable to fulfill his purpose. And that's exactly what the Christian churches of today are teaching out there. Those who claim themselves to be Christians, the goat barns, as our brother Mike just brought out a moment ago. A God who loves everybody but can't save anybody unless you let Him. That's raising yourself to a point, to a level of where God is. And every one of us, we're in that same boat at one time or another. As Brother Mike said, it's the teaching of the preaching of the gospel that God uses to bring His people out of that darkness, out of that so-called "I'm the one who chooses my destination." The gospel brings them out of that, shows them what they truly are: worms compared to the Lord, worms compared to our Creator. And all we can ask for is mercy. Mercy and grace upon us, those of us, we who do not deserve it. In Daniel, you don't need to turn there, 4:35 it says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are as reputed as nothing." And He, this mighty God that we seek, or that we read about here in Isaiah, He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" Our God is the potter, the creating, and He's creating vessels unto His desire. Some are vessels of mercy, and some are vessels of wrath. Who are we to question His doings? In Hebrews 1:1, we read, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." He, this mighty God, this Son that is given, He sits at the right hand seat of power. In Matthew 28:18 it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Look over at chapter 10, if you would, please. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. "But this man, this one who is our high priest, this one who intercedes for His people, this one who sits at the right hand of the Father, with all power in heaven and earth given unto Him. But this man, after He had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, the sacrifice of Himself, the spotless Lamb from before the worlds were, He sat down on the right hand of God, and from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool." Why is this word "mighty" so important? Well, I don't know about you, but it means assurance to me. I'm assured of my salvation because God hath provided a sacrifice for my sins. He has done what I cannot do. I can spend an eternity in hell and I'm not going to pay for all that I have committed. Yet my Lord, who has loved me from the beginning of time, paid that price for me. And that sacrifice is God the Son. "He who hath purged my sins hath put away all my sins, past, present, and future, by the sacrifice of Himself. He laid down His life for the cleansing of His people. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And speaking of power, turn over to Matthew 9 for a moment, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 9. Beginning in verse 1. And he, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, What for think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to arise and to walk? But that ye may know, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. God Almighty, right there. The only one who can forgive sins. And our Lord Jesus has that power to do so. Then saith he to the sick and the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. In Jeremiah 24, 7, it says, And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. No, our God is no wimp. He's not waiting for someone to let them be their ruler. He is ruler right now. He is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, if you would, please. So in closing this morning, I want to consider some of the blessings that are a result of this promise. This promise that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called the Mighty God. Our God is in the heavens, and he's doing whatsoever he pleases. And it pleases him to reveal his Son to his people through the preaching of the gospel. Yes, he uses sinful men to stand before you, men who understand what it is to have our sins forgiven, men who know that we are unworthy. Yet it is not me that matter. It doesn't matter whether I'm unworthy or not. It's God's gospel going out to his people, and that's what matters. All I am is an instrument. All Pastor Gene is an instrument. Mike, it's God's gospel. It's the preaching of the gospel that he uses to call his children, to bless them. And through his word, the mighty word of God, he saves his people. Knowing that his Son is the mighty God gives me assurance. When he said it is finished, then it is done. Salvation is complete. In Romans 8:1 it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We rest in his work and his work alone. And what a mighty work it is. No man could have done what the mighty God has done. His power is so great that he laid down his life, but get a load of this. His power is so great that he took it up again. With that same power, he gives life to as many as the Father hath given him. You don't need to turn there, but in John 10:27 it says, My sheep hear my voice. This is Christ speaking to some unbelieving Jews, ones that he had just told a moment ago, you are not my sheep because you don't believe. Or no, the other way around. I said it back, didn't I? You don't believe because you are not my sheep.
That's right.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The mighty God, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And for this reason, the sheep of God can read in verses 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." According to God's purpose, who can turn the hand of God? His purpose will happen no matter what, because He purposed it. I was thinking earlier this week in a conversation with my brother Bill, you know, have you ever really stopped and just considered what a blessing that verse really can be to us? An example, let's say, have you ever had poison oak all over you? Oh my, miserable that is. Now, I didn't know the Lord when I had that, but I remember how miserable that was. Today, knowing who the Lord is, all things. Lord, help me to say that if I ever get that again, okay? Because I don't know if I can still say that or not. Lord, well, I'm hoping the Lord will put me to that test, but if He does, He'll give me the strength to say whatever He wants me to say. Everything. All things. Even our troubles, even our worst day, that's all things, right? What do we got to complain about, folks? We got all things. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you be against us? Can I be against myself if God is for me? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Or what about the sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Remember what I said? Why is the reason mighty so important to me? It's my assurance. I know that He who is all powerful is standing in my corner. He who has created all things for His pleasure. I'm part of His pleasure. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our mighty God has promised it, and it shall be so. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.